Our speaker for the past 3 weeks during this month of June has been George, and over these past 3 weeks, George has shared with us his personal story and his experience, strength, and hope with the first 9 steps of the program of recovery. This evening will be George's last week. Some may clap, some may throw money, I don't know. But it's been a pleasure having George here, and we look forward to hearing you once again carry this message this evening, and George will be sharing his personal experience on steps 10, 11, and 12. George S. from Freehold.
Good evening, my name is George Smith. I'm definitely an alcoholic. And I see there's a few masochists and sadistical people that keep coming back to hear me. So, may God bless you. At least you're sober. I thank God for that. Yeah, there has to be a God. I didn't think I was going to make it tonight. I thought we were going to wind up being drowned. Don't pat yourself on the back. We haven't made it home yet. My driver, I don't drive. So my driver over there, he got us through with the help of God. And I'll tell you what, that parkway you needed tonight, you know, it's bad. But on a night like this, I would have made it to a bar or liquor store or wherever I had to go to get what I wanted, to get what I needed to do, whether I wanted to do it or not. Yeah, because due to the simple fact is I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, I couldn't live without it. I didn't know how much I was, what was going to happen, or how much I was going to drink when I picked it up. But all I knew was I was going to pick it up. There was nothing I could take and do to stop it. Because my mind was telling me everything was okay, and I could handle it, and I earned it, I deserved it, and life, you know, you people just didn't take and treat me right, so I might as well take and, you know, try to blot you out of everything. It didn't take much. I could get drunk real quick, real easy, real fast. For all those who haven't heard, I drank for 37 years. I'm missing 15 years of it. And thank God, God only returns a little bit of my memory back to me at a time, a little bit at a time. I had a piece to come back this week, and I got to take it. Before I do anything about it, I got to write some inventory on it. Because I'm laying there sound asleep, and all of a sudden I woke up, and like, whoa, I got hit with a whole bunch of memories. What do I got to do about it? I found it quite upsetting, quite shocking, and it scared the hell out of me. Normally, I would have drank over it. To get rid of the feelings and the emotions that take place in my mind and my body. But I'm not doing it today. I know what I have to do, and I'm going to take and do it. Because I want to feel good. And the only way to feel good is to take and stay sober, get through it, and do what I need to do. And basically, the best way to do that is to take and help another alcoholic. As I've been telling this, my story, my experience with the steps, I've been talking a lot about my first sponsor and how he took me through the steps. Because that's the way I take the people I sponsor through. Because it's the only way I know how to do it. And as I go through the steps with other people that I sponsor, I learn more about me. My first sponsor, old Joe Burns, God rest his soul. You know, he told me that step one is my problem with alcohol. Step four is my problem with my thinking and my actions. Step seven is for my actions in society. Those are the three problems which I had to take and face as I went along. Step two was the solution to my problem from my alcohol. Come to trust in a power greater than myself. For my actions. Step five, share with another human being, God and another human being. And for living in society, is become willing to go out and make amends for the people that I've harmed. And the course of action that I had to take from my drinking was trust in God. And my thinking was to have become willing to have God remove all my character defects. I always thought I was just a defective character, but I found out that it's not me, it's my thinking, my way of acting, and everything else. And the motives and reasons behind everything that I did. Because I used to be able to take normal, everyday, God-given emotions and feelings and turn them into weapons. Use them as whippings to take and beat people down with, to hold them hostage and everything else. And for getting along in society, I had to go out and make direct amends to the people that I had harmed. Which was a marvelous thing, because I am no longer looking over my shoulder anymore. You know, I can walk down the street and not be afraid to meet people, to talk to people. I did have one funny incident, well, it wasn't funny at the time, when I, in early sobriety, I was walking down the street, and I saw a cop. And I don't know, for some reason, I just took off running. And man, he took off after me. And we ran. And we ran through briars and brooks and over cars and everything else, about 2.5 miles. Finally, he caught me, wrestled me to the ground, and he says, "Why were you running? What do you got on you?" And he frisked me down, and I said, he said, "You're not carrying. What's the matter?" And I started laughing. Now, his uniform is torn to hell. My clothes were all torn to hell, and he says, "Where are you going?" I said, "Believe it or not, I was going to an AA meeting." But I was so used that fear came back momentarily, and I acted upon it. The alcohol thinking, the disease of that I have centers in my mind, and my mind was telling me, run from this guy. Since this time, I have bought him a new I did go out and buy him a new uniform. And he says, "You know, that was the best chase I've had in a long time." And I said, "You know something? If I was drunk, I wouldn't have made it off the first block. You know? So my running got to be a little bit better. Now I smoke more and I probably want to make it past the first doorstep. But that's okay." You know? In my recovery, when I started down this path, down this the road of life with the 12 steps that AA gave me. My sponsor told me I have to take and live myself into right thinking. And part of that is, the easiest way to do that is to do God's will. And I didn't know what God's will is. And I'm still learning it today, though. And he says, start doing a 10th step. You know right from wrong. Though you usually do wrong rather than right, why don't you start trying to do something right? You know, and quit being the dickhead that you usually are. Of course, I asked him how he knew that. He says, "Well, you're an alcoholic." You know, my sponsor was very sweet to me. A miserable old goat. But anyway, and he got me into taking looking at this 10th step and asking myself the questions that are in the book. You know, like, why am I acting this way? Why am I doing this? Well, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, what am I getting anything out of this? Am I doing it for me? You know, am I being that egotistical, self-centered SOB that I always was? And if I can answer yes to those questions, to immediately stop and make an amends. And going to tell you one thing. They say steps 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps. If I want to continue my growth, yes, they will help me maintain my growth in sobriety. Because I got to stay in those three steps. That 10th step keeps me going into that bar. That 10th step keeps me from getting into fights, into arguments. Yeah? It allows me to go home at the end of a work day and open the door and look at my wife and say, good evening, I'm home. And I let her cry. You know? But it's okay today. You know? Because I'm not that monster that I used to be when I opened that door, yelling and screaming. You know? Hell, I even got a 10-month-old kid, my granddaughter, that comes crawling up to me, you know, and puts her arms around my ankle, you know, and smiles at me. My own kids used to crawl away from me as fast as they could. You know? Because today I try to take them live right. I try doing the right thing. I try to help the newcomer. I try to help the old-timer. Yeah, I got an ulterior motive. When I'm doing it, when I'm helping somebody else, I'm staying out of that bar. I'm staying out of that liquor store or that shooting gallery. I'm staying sober. I'm getting better. And that's all I'm here for. It's just to try to take and get better. I feel good. You know, and I still have that thinking. So at the end of the night, I got to review what I did all day. You know, I don't call my sponsor every day. I talk to a couple of the people I do sponsor almost every day. And we go out, and I basically do an 11-step with them. Tell them what's bothering me, what I did. And they tell me where I'm screwing up. Do I like hearing it? No. I don't want to hear it. I'm an alcoholic. I want to hear somebody pat me on the back and take and say, oh, you're okay, you can handle it, you're cured, you can have a drink. Doesn't the book take and say that? Isn't it the dream of every alcoholic to have a few drinks with impunity that we see the other people have? I don't know what the word impunity means, but if it means get drunk, yeah. You know? The only thing is, I learn more, because today I'm listening. If somebody used, when I was out there, if somebody told me that there was something wrong with me, one of us was going to get hurt. Usually their fist in my face, but, you know, it didn't matter. Because I did not think I ever did anything wrong. Today, I accept the criticism. Because there's got to be a justification. There's got to be a foundation of truth in it. Do I like hearing it all the time? No. But when I put my head on that pillow at night, and I say, thank you, God, I can go to sleep. And that's a very unusual thing for this alcoholic. Because I used to pass out and come to. Now I go to sleep and I wake up. At least I have so far. I don't know about tomorrow morning, but, you know, that's tomorrow. But the thing is, things are so much different today. You know, I get up in the morning and I say thank you. And I really mean it. God knows what I'm praying for and why I'm praying. You know, there's times that, man, I thought I could never get through the day. But I've always been able to make it without having to pick up that drink. There's a meeting that I never miss, or I try not ever to miss. It's a 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon Living Sober meeting at the clubhouse down in Freehold. It's a step meeting. The people share on how they took the step, why they took the step, and what they got out of the step. And when my parents, after I put my parents at a nursing home, I used to make sure I made at least half of that meeting. And they knew what kind of day I had with my folks by how many bags of candy I walked in with. The more candy, the worse the day I had, you know? And those people, they didn't hold my hand. They didn't pat me in the back. They said to me, how about this step? And we talk step. We keep it going. They gave me program to keep me sober. I thank God that nobody in AA has ever told me how to live my life without me asking for advice. My sponsor never told me, well, go get a new job because the one you got people drink at. You know, when I'm having a little trouble with my wife, my sponsor never told me, well, buy her a box of flowers. You know? Because if I ever bought my wife some flowers, she'd take a look at me and like, what the hell you been up to, kind of a thing, you know? But if, yeah, you laugh, you know my wife. someday you people may have the pleasure of meeting her. But keep laughing. But anyway, you know, life is different today. Life is really great because of the simple fact that as I try working these steps, you know, and I always take and try when I go through the day to take a few minutes out and pause. And maybe take and ask the 11-step questions throughout the day. You know, after I get through the situation at work. You know, because I'm not afraid to look at myself today. And I'll admit, you know, I may think at times, you know, that I'm the most wonderful person in the world. And, you know, and I can handle it and all this and that. But when I take that 11-step view look or that and a 10-step look at what I'm doing, I realize, you know, I'm still a sick person, you know? And I use the word sick person because I'm not the animal that I used to be. And how do I take and maintain everything? How do I maintain my sobriety? The best way I could take and do it is working with a newcomer. I had a little over 13 hours coming around, and there was a new guy. This guy comes walking in, my sponsor, and this guy looked like the way I, on the outside, the way I was feeling on the inside. My old Joe told me to go over and talk to him. What am I going to say to him? He says, just go over and tell him to work for you today and give him your big book. And I go, I don't have it on me. That was a $25 fine. And he handed me a book, and I gave him the book. Yeah, that's why I'm still paying that old guy off, man. I still got $1 million worth of fines to pay him off. And the second sponsor I have, forget it. I'll never live long enough to be able to pay him off. But I don't mind giving big books away today because somebody gave it to me. And I don't mind opening that book and going through that book with that person. Because that's all I can give that person, is the knowledge that was given to me in that book. I try to share my experiences with them. You know, I don't get down and tell them all the grisly details. I try to tell them how I felt, how I didn't feel. Yeah. They don't need to hear about stealing cars. They don't take and need about hearing about all the fights and stuff that I was in. I tell them how lousy I felt, how empty, and how lost I was. Because I just didn't know. I was deluding myself into believing the illusion that everything was great. And I was dying, physically, emotionally, spiritually I was dead. But that 12th step, yeah, I have a God today. I have a God today. And man, He is powerful. He is powerful. He's got to be because, you know, keeps me sober. You know, in the 10th and 11th step, there's so many beautiful promises. Wow, they are. Of course, I do have promises, a little problem with the promises is by this time sanity has returned. I'm still a little crazy. But, no, I'm still totally insane, but I'm not that way with alcohol. I'm not insane with alcohol the way I was. You know, I've seen too many people come in these rooms and go back out. I know too many people that I used to live with and associate with that are still out there. And I see them. And I talk to them. You know, down at Freehold, they close the meeting. They give a little thing about anonymity. Did I say it right? Close enough. That's about as close as I'm going to get because otherwise I have trouble with the big A word. And I always thought, you know, I'm one of these people that I believe, as the tradition say, at the level of radio, press, and film. We must maintain it. Why? To protect AA. You know, I use my full name in the room. And I think I gave out my phone number. If you want to call me, my telephone number is 732-577-8350. And give me a call. You know, because I'm not ashamed to take and say who I am or what I am in these rooms. But if you ever come down to Freehold and you talk to me on outside of the rooms, they're either going to take and look at you and take and think you're either in AA or you're a drug addict or a dealer. Because I still talk to a lot of drug addicts and dealers and drunks and everything else. Because I know these people. And a couple of them that I used to deal with have seen what has happened to me, and they have come into the rooms. And it's a great thrill. It's a great wonder. It's a great high to watch this, to see this happen. You know? Because that's what it's about. You know, I'm not out to save the world. I'm out to try to carry the message. I've buried quite a few people who haven't got it. There's a guy down by me, a guy I sponsor. His name's Gary. Gary and I have a track record on 12-step calls of about 50-50. 50% have made it, 50%. Are dead, but we've stayed sober. I've seen people take their own lives rather than take and quit. It hurts. But all I can do is try to carry the message. And the best way I can carry the message is to take and try to stay sober myself and be the best example of what being sober is. And that's happy, joyous, and free. Because today I can laugh. Today I can do anything. You know, I don't have all the things I want. You know, I don't have that big white house up on the hill, the mansion and the harem and the hottest cars and the best, biggest and best, baddest stereo computer and everything else. But I do have one thing. I got a little blue book in my pocket that I can turn to for guidance. I got a list of I don't know how many telephone numbers of people that I can call for help. When I was out there drinking, the only thing anybody wanted to do is, let's have a drink and we'll talk about it. You know? As I said, I drank for 13 years over the death of my sister and her three kids. When my parents died, I walked into the rooms and everybody knew that there was something wrong with me. Besides the normal insanity which I go through. And they got me through it. How? By talking the program to me. Because I can forget. Am I a fanatic when it comes to AA? Well, some people call me a big book Nazi, a step Nazi, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. I'm not one of these people that sit in the room, you know, and they, when a newcomer comes in, they sit there.
Well, if you want what we got, you do what we do, and you're going to have what we got.
You know, the kind of people with the sobriety that I want to give you 2 cents for, because they're not joyous, happy, and free. You know, I sit in the rooms, and I wasn't laughing to be... because you were funny, I was laughing at true identification of what you're saying, you know, and I loved it. You know, I love your enthusiasm. You know, don't ever lose it. Don't ever lose it. Because it gives me hope. You know, one of the people that I sponsor asked me, do you get more of a thrill when you celebrate, or when he celebrates? And he gave a 90-day pin to one of his people, and after the meeting, I said, that's the best thrill I got, when you give it away. Because now I understood what my first sponsor says, or told me, the only way to keep it is to give it away. And watch it grow. Somebody once, I used to have a whole bunch of pins on my hat. And this one woman, she gave me a pin with an orchid, of an orchid. These pins that I used to wear, in order for me to put on my hat, had to have something to do with your sobriety. And she looked and she saw this pin and she didn't like it when she was drinking. And then one day she found it and she says, you know, as soon as I saw this, I thought of you. Yes. She says, you know anything about orchids? I says, no. She says, in the wild, when they're not blooming, they're ugly, scraggly, and highly toxic. That's like us when we're out there drinking. That's like us when we're not working the program. When we come in and we work the program and we bloom into a beautiful flower, as we give of ourselves to other people. Because the orchid, when it's in bloom, we get a lot of good herbs from it, like vanilla for one thing. A lot of good medicines come from orchids. And I never knew that. And I'll tell you what, I wore that pin for a long time. I don't even know whatever happened to it. I don't even know what happened to that hat. Yes, I do too. My second sponsor told me to take all the pins off my hat except for two, because it was an ego trip. And I got all pissed off at him and went to argue with him. He says, talk to me tomorrow. He died that night of cancer. Can't argue with him. That was all dead. That guy had patience to put up with me. He had to. You know, my first sponsor taught me how to get through the steps very simply. He explained the unmanageability so I could explain it to somebody else in the 12th as I do to take them through simply. And as I go through with later on, I learn more about me and the unmanageability of my life. The steps don't mean the same today as they did when I first came in. They mean so much more. You know, the big book has taught me not only how to talk to people in the rooms and to try to carry the message, it taught me how to make friends with people outside of the rooms. That 12th step, you know, working with others, to get to know people, that's a good way to do it. You know? I'm getting to know a lot of people in this world, and a lot of them aren't scared of me. A lot of them respect me. Some of them even trust me. I mean, there's some sick people out there, and, you know, they're not necessarily in the room. But, you know, life is just so much better. Because the more I go through these steps and try to do what I'm supposed to do, yeah, my life gets, wow. I can't describe it. Yeah, I can't describe it. It's so much more than I ever wanted, so much more than I ever expected or hoped for. You know? God has given me the willingness to help other people rather than trying to screw everybody over. You know, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. You know, I don't profess to have the answers. I have no answers. I got a million questions. And I do ask them. I know where to find the answers. I find the answers in the book, and I find the answers in the people that I sponsor, the people in the in the rooms that work the program. You know? They give me the answers. I don't always like them, but I can live with them today. Because I know they're telling me the truth. And the truth hurts. You know, the easier, softer way is working the program. Making coffee? I still make coffee. You know? Keeps me sober. And it did in the beginning, and it's still doing it today. I still pretty much act as a greeter wherever I go. I pick up chairs. It's all part of doing what I need to do. When I sponsor people, I make them make coffee. I tell them to pick up the chairs, to do this, to do that. And they do it. You know why? Because I do it. I'm not one of these dictatorial people. I take and show them that I do it, and they'll do it. And I find a lot of people, you know, this may be getting a little controversial, but, you know, if people just sit around in the rooms and do absolutely nothing, it's because their sponsor sits around the room and does nothing. If the sponsor gets their people active. They get better. They get sober. And I don't mean Webster sober either, without alcohol and or mind, mood-altering substances. To me, that's as boring can be. You know? I have a fire in me today that, man, it's just AA. Because AA has saved my life. You know, I don't quote too much many of the expressions that you hear in the rooms because, you know, in the fellowship, because a lot of it to me is a lot of bull. But I do believe the one expression is, you know, I thank God for AA and AA for God. You know? my understanding of God is so much different than it ever was. And how did I find it? By doing those stupid, simple little things, to reaching out to the newcomer, to doing all the things that I didn't want to do, all that stuff that I didn't think would keep me sober. You know, and all the stuff that I try to pass on, like make coffee, greet people, you know, clean up. That's all part of it. But I enjoy doing that today. You know, my first sponsor told me, he says, no matter what the time says in the book that the meeting starts, it starts 1.5 hour to an hour before that. Get there. Okay. Tonight was probably the first time I've been late to a meeting, and I can't remember. You know, and it feels strange. You know, but it was by an act of God, because He put the rain out there. You know, but it's okay. I'm not going to drink over it. Before, if I was going to be late for an appointment, well. Hey, we got 15 minutes. Let's stop off, have a couple. The hell with it. You know, I missed out on many good jobs that way. Today at 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings, and they say, hey, we got a wet one. I make a couple calls. I got a ride, and I got a couple people to go with me. You know? Because I do what I need to do. And the reason I need to do it is because I would like to take and pay back AA for what it's given me. I don't think I ever could or ever can. Hell, I can't take and pay off the debt to my first sponsor for all the stupid questions and the yeah buts and you don't know us and you don't understand and paying off that fine. I'll never be able to pay AA off. You know? And as I said one other time, I believe in here. My disease tells me I'm not an alcoholic. Well, maybe I'm not, but I'll tell you what, I'm having more fun in AA than I've ever had in my life. And I'm having it sober. You know, the obsession has been lifted. I'm not saying the thought hasn't. Every time I take in here of a new drink, I wonder what that would taste like. You know? I'm not going to say today I'm welding on some hot metal. You know, it's out there in the sun and it's hot as hell. I'm not going to say I didn't taste that gin and bitter lemon. I'd be a liar. I went in and had some iced tea. I even added extra lemon to it. Actually, I'd rather the lemon with a little bit of tea in it, because I really don't like iced tea, but, you know. I ain't got a headache. I ain't got a hangover. I'm not taking seeing people sitting out there with four eyes and six heads either, you know? Like, I'm even here. You know, life is great, you know? Hell. I tried to tell you people how I've taken the steps, what I've gotten out of it, how I sponsor. If you've got something out of it, do me a favor. Pass it on. Because that's what this is about. You know, all we can do is try to carry the message. You know, in the beginning I thought, all this stuff that I'm hearing 10,000 million times that I'm listening to, and I'm hearing the same shit over and over and over and over and over again, like, oh man, you people are going to drive me to drink. And one day a newcomer came in and I sat down and I talked to him. And you know, all that stupid stuff that I had heard over and over and over again, I finally listened to it. Because it went out of my mouth and into my ears. And you know something? It was the truth. And it saved my ass. And it saved my life. You know? Yeah. one nice thing my sponsor said, nothing new has been said in the rooms in AA for 65 years, so don't think yourself a genius, jerk. You know something? He was right. I haven't had an original thought or original idea. Everything I've said to you tonight is something I've heard. It's been handed to me, given to me freely to try to pass on. I take no credit for my sobriety. The only thing I can take credit or responsibility for is all the things that I've done when I was out there. And I try to make amends for. Sobriety was given to me as a gift of God. He graced me with it. And if I stop doing what I'm doing, I'm going to throw it all away. And if I throw it all away, I'm not going to be able to say, I thank you people very much for being here and keeping me sober and giving me a reason to get off my dead ass tonight, off that couch, and come out in the rain and be able to say to you, thank you, God bless you, and I love you, and God keep you.
It's been a pleasure, an honor, and I appreciate the experience, strength, and hope.